worried about Ken if he stuffed on Mother's Day. What is going to happen on Father's Day? We did have a good day. We're glad that you're here. I mentioned this morning that I wanted to speak concerning your child's greatest need, especially thinking of little children. They have so many needs. They are dependent upon us for their every need. How can we isolate and choose just one? What is a child's greatest need? It was said of Jesus in Luke chapter 2 that he grew in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man. In that short text, he named four areas of growth for all of us, from childhood to adulthood. He grew in wisdom, that's intellectually, and stature, that's physically, in favor with God, that's spiritually, and in favor with man, socially. And yet, even in addition to these, there are other needs of children. Paul said that it was responsibility of parents to lay up for children and not children for their parents. And he's speaking here spiritually of his relationship to the church in Corinth, and that he considered them his children, and therefore he felt a responsibility to care for them. He wanted to know if he was fulfilling their spiritual needs in Christ, and that was his goal, that was his purpose. As parents, on a physical level and spiritual, we ought also to be thinking about what is the most important thing that a child needs. This morning we referred to two texts, one in Ephesians and the other in Exodus, where Paul references the fourth commandment that they should honor their father and mother. He said it's the first commandment with promise, that it would be well with them, that they may live long in the land. He's speaking of living in the promised land, but it would also be true if we said they will live generally longer on earth if they are obedient and submissive and follow wise instructions from their parents. And so with these two texts, he is pointing out two separate things, though related, that children should obey, number one, and honor in the very next verse. I said this morning it is possible for a child, young or old, to obey without honoring. That is, that you could sullenly go about doing what you were told to do, but your heart not be in it. But if you honor your parents, then all else will flow from that, including obedience to them. I believe in that relationship we're getting at the point tonight. What is our children's greatest need? First, let me say what is not their greatest need, so that we can hedge this in and pinpoint more clearly what's at stake and maybe eliminate mistakes that we all have made. One thing I would say that your child's greatest need is not, is just behaviorism. That is, just to get them to behave in a polite way. Just to say, yes, sir, no, sir, yes, ma'am, no, ma'am, thank you. All of those are good signs of good behavior, but it doesn't get at the heart of the issue. There's more to life than proper etiquette at the table or in the bedroom or your child's room, what they're doing, whether they keep it clean or not. There's more to life than that. And we can so stress public behavior that we might make hypocrites out of our children. We might get them to conform outwardly, but inwardly to despise the very instructions they've been given. And we don't want that. Another thing that is not our child's greatest need is isolationism. Probably most of us have thought the world is so wicked, it is so evil, I wish we could just pull our children away from it. And we all have sympathy with that. We all understand the feeling of it. But I want to say that it doesn't work. It doesn't work with nations who practice isolationism. If we just stay away, mind our own business, the other nations will leave us alone. Not really. They'll come looking for you. It doesn't work even with your body's immune system. If we were to isolate a child and keep them from germs as much as possible and not let them go out and play in the dirt or with other little children who've been playing in the dirt, we might think, well, that'll keep our child safe. Actually, it makes them weaker in their immune system, more dangerous for them. Their immune system cannot build up its strong resistance to germs unless they come in direct contact with it. So isolationism is not the answer. Here's why. Evil is not just out there somewhere. It is found in the heart of every person, including innocent and sweet little children. So if you build a fence to keep others out, what are you going to do with the evil that is already in a child's heart? While we seek for purity and innocence in children, we do not want them to be naive or easily deceived. And so we want to face the problem straight on. I believe that there are some that think it is favorable to be like Forrest Gump. Now, I like the movie. But I don't think that is what we want out of an adult child. We want maturity. We want the ability to perceive and understand right and wrong. They live in this world, and they must. And so we can't go around being Forrest Gumps. We have to be more direct, more mature than that. Carnal desires are a part of our fallen nature. When the Bible uses the word flesh, especially in Paul's letters like Romans and Ephesians, he's not talking about the physical flesh. He's talking about carnal desires. And so the NIV calls it that, carnal desire. And it upsets people. But that is exactly the interpretation of the word flesh. He didn't mean it in a physical sense. He meant it in a spiritual sense. And so those that are in the flesh cannot please God. And so we have to face head on this issue of the nature that we possess, both as children and adults. I would also say that this is not the answer. This is not your child's greatest need, and that is self-esteem. I don't know if you remember a few decades ago. I remember when that first began to be promoted. And almost everyone jumped on the bandwagon. It seemed so great. It was the view that if you could just build up your child's image of himself, that all would be well. And yet all the while, the Bible was warning us not to think more highly of ourselves than we ought to think. And that we ought to esteem others better than ourselves. The Bible actually teaches other esteem and not self-esteem. And so we have a two-edged sword here. It is possible to think too lowly of yourself. If that's so with a child, his esteem needs to be improved. But it is also possible in our world to think too highly of ourselves. That is the part of our fallen nature that we will go to, not the other one. We will generally go to thinking more highly of ourselves than we ought. That's what Paul said in Romans chapter 12. And so we have to be careful about this matter of thinking so highly of ourselves. We get that from almost every direction. The popular books, the self-help books are filled with that philosophy of just think better of yourself. You see it in popular preachers in the past and present, where they think that you ought not to confront the evil that is within your own heart. That might cause you some problems if you begin to see the wrong that is there. And so they just whitewash it all and push it aside as if the wrong is not present. And that you should just think on lofty and wonderful and good things. This was a great song by Whitney Houston. The greatest love of all. But listen to it. This is American Western philosophy. I believe the children are our future. Teach them well and let them lead the way. Show them all the beauty they possess inside. Give them a sense of pride to make it easier. Let the children's laughter remind us how we used to be. Everybody's searching for a hero. People need someone to look up to. I've never found anyone who fulfills my needs. A lonely place to be. So I learned to depend on me. The chorus says, I decided a long time ago never to walk in anybody else's shadow. If I fail, if I succeed, at least I'll live as I believe. No matter what they take from me, they can't take away my dignity. Because the greatest love of all is happening to me. I found the greatest love of all inside of me. The greatest love of all is easy to achieve. Learning to love yourself is the greatest love of all. I believe the children are our future. Teach them well. And let them lead the way. Show them all the beauty they possess inside. Give them a sense of pride to make it easier. Let the children's laughter remind us how we used to be. And if by chance that special place that you've been dreaming of leads you to a lonely place, find your strength in love. Well, there are many wonderful truths in those words. The song is right in saying that children are our future. We should teach them well. We should teach them happiness and joy. But it is a shameless promotion of self-love and self-esteem. That no one else can meet your needs. Does that include God? Does that include Jesus Christ? And just look within yourself and you'll find all that you need. You'll just find the love that you need right there. And it'll even remind you as an adult of that place where you once were. Really? How are we really going to feel better about ourselves when we have sinned? Are we just going to look inside ourselves? Is the answer there? Are we going to be able to say, this is all I need? I don't need you. You don't need me. I don't need God. What we need is truth. What we need is the assurance that comes by the gospel of Christ. And by a frank admission of our failures and of our need for redemption. And we should teach our children what their greatest need is. What is it? Actually, your child's greatest need is the same as yours, same as mine. Our goal should be as parents to bring them to an understanding of sin and salvation. And you will never understand salvation unless you comprehend sin. It's a slow process of teaching. Children at first will not understand very much of what you're saying, but little by little, they will understand. And they will begin to feel the truth of what you're saying within their own heart. They will know that they have failed. They will know that sin abides there and that they have rebelled against you. Solomon said this about a child. It's very difficult to take in, but it's true. Foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction will drive it far from him. Proverbs 22, verse 15. And so while we debate the issue of when is the proper time for a child to obey the gospel, that's a different question. What we must be clear about from early on, and I don't mean waiting till they're in their teens, we must make clear early on that you, as a child, will obey me, the parent, and that there is sin bound up in the heart of a child. And if you don't correct it early, and I mean ages 1, 2, and 3, not 12, 13, and 14. If you correct it early on, you'll have to do far, far less of it later on. Understand it early. Let the child understand that you know them. And then that child will be set on the right course. Your child's greatest need is love. Whitney Houston was right about that, but wrong about the application of it. But beyond your love as a parent, the child needs to grow up and to understand the love of God. That's what they need. It is not looking within your own heart. It's not finding it there and saying, I don't need you. I don't need the rest of the world. No one else can meet my needs. Your child's greatest need is not physical possessions. It's not how many toys they have, how many electronic gadgets you can buy them. Jesus said this, take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life, a child's life, does not consist in the abundance of the things that they possess. And so if we began to think that that is what will satisfy and make your child mature, what we're actually teaching them is that materialism and material possessions will supply the desires of their heart. And they cannot. They will never. Your child's greatest need is regeneration. Rebirth. Rebellion is often in the heart of a child early on. So once again, it's a matter of understanding human nature. It's a matter of understanding your own nature and remembering your own life. And then applying it to your child. Your child's greatest need is to understand this. Why do I feel the turmoil within my heart? Every child feels it. And they will not feel good about it. But you cannot put a band-aid on it by self-esteem or by saying you're wonderful, I love you. They need to know the love of God. And they need to know why, at times, they feel so badly. Why? That has to be answered early in life, not later. And the earlier they understand that there is something spiritual going on within them, then earlier they will seek the remedy. Your child's greatest need is to understand the heart. Why is it at times that life seems so bright and happy, and other times it seems so gloomy and sad? child needs to know. In the news just recently, there was a young child that committed suicide. And it was because older kids were bullying him in school. What's going on there? What's happening? And why didn't the younger child see a way of escape? All of those children were in turmoil, all of them. And each one needed to know why their life feels so uncomfortable at times. Why? The younger child needed to understand why the older children were treating him that way. Why would another child treat a younger child more innocent than they so badly? Is it not because of sin? Is it not because of what is bound up in the heart of a child? I'll tell you this. Short, snappy phrases won't get it. Receive Christ into your heart. I was in a doctor's office yesterday. I text Norman and said, I'm at patient first, and I didn't explain why. And she was wondering. She was at work. She was wondering what I was doing there, and I text back and said, just my annual physical exam. But the doctor and I had a long conversation. And he was talking about someone that he knew, a younger, he said he taught a teenage class at church. And he was telling me about this child whose heart was in tremendous turmoil. And he said, preacher, what do we tell them? How do we explain things to the young? I sensed as he was saying that he was pointing to this very issue. That there's tremendous confusion, there's heartache, and everybody has to know that it's because of sin. Your child's greatest need is not physical things, it's not even making them feel happy all the time. It's helping them to understand how they can have Christian joy, which is far different. Joy means that you have faced that other issue, that other problem, the real problem that's there. And in doing that, you seek forgiveness. And the bullies won't bother you anymore. Because the child would understand what their problem is. It's sin. It's not their problem. It's not the child who is being misused, abused, bullied. It's the other children who do not understand their greatest need is redemption. They, in fact, may not be ready for baptism, but they are ready for a class on human nature. And they have to be taught that early on. That's our child's greatest need. May God bless you in listening and bless you in your home, your family, your children. If you haven't obeyed the gospel, we're ready to help and to assist you tonight while we stand. Say.